Good morning, guys. You know, that's so encouraging to hear that about his final words as fellow workers in the gospel. That's so amazing to me to know what we can expect. Amen. It's great for us to be together, right? We have a great holiday coming up, Thanksgiving. Who's looking forward to that? Amen. And if you weren't, I'd take your plate. But it is going to be an amazing time together. I'm having technical difficulties here, but we're going to be all right. Here we go. Praise God. You know, I wanted to give you guys a friendly warning about who you allow to say grace this Thanksgiving. You know, kids say the darndest things, don't they? That's what they say, right? Bill Cosby had a whole show about that. I want to read you guys a couple of grace quotes from children. They're very quick, so you better listen up. One child said, "God is neat. Let's eat." Another child said, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. And hurry up because I'm hungry. And we're eating turkey. Amen." And the last one was, "Good food, good meat. Good God, let's eat." See, somebody was saying it right there too. You know, these are cute coming from kids. But the adults among us know how much we need to be grateful to God. You know, as a congregation, we've been focusing on God's grace for the last, it seems like a couple months now. And it's amazing to see what we take for granted, probably on a daily basis. You know, there's aspects of God's grace that I think that we don't think about the way we need to. This morning, I would like to talk about the effects of grace. Look over in 1 Corinthians 15, please. This morning, I'm praising God for ibuprofen. You might wonder why. Ty can relate. Yesterday, the teens and the middle schoolers met for a friendly game of flag football. It was mostly friendly. When you run into a guy like Jim Cook, it doesn't get friendly very long. But I appreciate the way he aligned my back for me. I got a free adjustment. Literally, when I hit him, my whole back went, "Kick!" I was like, "Ooh, I feel better now." Amen. Now you could laugh, man. Ooh, amen. Ibuprofen, baby. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 9, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was." You know, here Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And, you know, there were some issues about him being an apostle and all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of explaining his role. But I love it the way that he talks about grace. How grace was not without effect. That's really what I want to talk about this morning. How that the effect, the grace that God has given us must have an effect in our life and must be displayed in our lives. You know, Paul was a man that embraced his role. As a disciple, are you embracing the role as an ambassador of God? That's exactly what we are, guys. We are sinners saved by grace, and now we've been appointed by God to be ambassadors for him to this world. There are two areas where grace must affect. First, in our hearts, and then in our actions. Look over in Ephesians 2. Paul is one of my favorite heroes of the faith. I think I can relate with him a lot, and I can relate with Peter a lot as far as their sinful nature. I am in no way in the league of Peter and of Paul. But I can relate to these guys because they were very open about where they were before becoming Christians. And even as disciples, they were willing to mess up to get help. Look over in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now in work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, here we see Paul reminding the church in Ephesus where they had come from. Isn't it good to remember where you come from? Isn't it good after you've been a disciple for several years or maybe a decade, maybe a couple decades, to have a quiet time and remember who you used to be before Jesus came in your life? Boy, it's convicting to do that. Sometimes it's like watching The Passion of the Christ. It's something you sit down to do. You don't have a bowl of popcorn in your lap. It's something you do with being very sober-minded. You remember who you used to be and who you could quickly become without the grace of God. You know, we are one decision away from doing some of the knuckleheaded things that we used to do. You know, there are things that I've done in my past, and I'm not talking about before Christianity. I'm talking about after making Jesus Lord, I've made mistakes that I regret. But every day we strive not only to live in the grace, but to give it honor by the way we live. You know, I don't believe that Paul was saying these things to wig these guys out or guilt them out. Can't you sometimes go through guilt? Can't you sometimes remember the things you did 10, 15 years ago and say, what a wretched man am I? Man, I don't believe I did that. Or yesterday when you misspoke to your children, to your wife. Or you maybe mumbled something under your breath or in your heart. You know, Satan uses those things to keep us down. He uses those things to keep us in an accused position. You know, God is not here to accuse us, but to lift us up. To give us a hope in the future. It's so amazing how God quickly forgives us when we repent. You know, as I was coming up with this sermon and you know, I got some advice from Richard on, you know, how it looked and all this kind of stuff. He shared with me and he said, you know, share some of the stuff that you've done. That was hard at first when I read it. Because, you know, most of you guys know me. I'm quick to talk about who I used to be and what I've used to do. But for this time, I don't know, it was something that I just was like, oh. And it just kind of hit me. Man, I've been saved from so much. You know, the name John in Hebrew means God is gracious. God is a good God. It's so amazing how he names us exactly what we are. You know, my past is definitely not something that I boast on with my drinking, with my drug past, with my being an abusive man, very angry, enjoying being in a fight, whether it be physical or just arguing with somebody. You know, I think about all those things, and that helps me to stay right with God. It helps me to remember that when I get distant from God, I can quickly go right back to being that person. I don't want to be that person. I know you don't want to be who you used to be. For some of you, the truth is you're still in that spot right now. I know you. You know, they say you don't know what you don't know. Man, if you've been around the gospel, if you've been around disciples, you know more than you're letting on that you know. I say that specifically to the teens who've grown up in the church. You know more than you're letting on that you know. It's time to make a decision to accept the gift of grace. You know, I know a lot of us, we take our time, we're doing, you know, getting to know God in our own time frame. What if Jesus was coming back right now? What if Jesus was on his way back right now? What would your response be to him when he arrived? Would it be one of, amen, this is fantastic, I get to be with my Lord? Will your response be like Damien's response? And I didn't hear that until just now. That hurts. That hurts to know that some of you will not be able to say those things. Look, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to say where you're going. You and God only know that answer. What I'm telling you to do is explore the grace of God. Amen. Don't exploit the grace of God, but explore it. Understand it. Take the gift. You know, it is nothing that we've done to deserve it, right? In verse 10, Paul says, for we are God's workmanship. We are his creation. If we're a disciple, it's simply because he gave us grace to accept the message. We can't walk around patting ourselves on our back thinking we did something. We didn't do anything. He died on the cross. He suffered. God watched him go through that. We accept the grace. Amen. Christmas is around the corner. You know, some of the adults, we will buy our own gifts, but that's another story. But the children, they won't buy their gifts, right? And even if they buy them, they got a gift card from somebody. They did not earn the gift, but they will quickly accept it, won't they? You know, I didn't earn this tie. The singles ministry gave me this tie on Friday. Amen. Big ups to singles. And I proudly wear my tie. And they did it as a gift of thanks. That's moving. That's amazing. God didn't give us the gift of grace for thanks. He did out of the great gift of love. Man, God is an awesome God. You know, when I think about my past, it helps me want to run to my future. It helps me want to strive on. To remember that, man, if I just go back a couple of feet, I could be right back to what I used to do. And leave God? I don't want to leave God. What would life be without God? I don't want to find out. Some of us in this room know what it is to be without God. Some of us know God. Do you remember the loneliness? I do. Do you remember the pain that you felt? Remember the first time you did the cross study? Remember the first time you saw the Passion? And you couldn't even watch the screen? Because you know you did that. Yeah. It's the grace of God, guys. Yeah. It's by that grace that we get to stand in front of him. You know, the grace of God implores us to tell others about him. You know, it's awesome to be able to preach. But my best work cannot be from the pulpit. That's right. It must be in my daily walk with God. Amen. When I meet people and I look them dead in the eye and I'm like, I don't see him here so I can talk about him. There was a young man that I was trying to get to come, and we've been texting and talking for the week and trying to get him to come. I don't see him. If you're here, raise your hand. You're not. Okay. I'll email him the link. But I was trying to get several people to come. Why? Because I'm preaching? No, because the word of God will be preached today. This is not my words. This is God's words. If they were my words, they'd be empty of any power. But because they're God's words, they're very powerful. Guys, we got to be fighting to get people here. Not only here, but in our homes, in the coffee shops. Everybody likes to eat. Most people like coffee. Let's utilize this time. You know, this time, most people's hearts are very soft. I think for one of two reasons. Either they're very grateful or they're very depressed. I know when I was in the world and I wasn't married nor with children, and the bottle was my best friend, this was the hardest time of the year for me. Because I'd go from party to party to party, get home at 5 o'clock in the morning, sometimes not even go home, go to the after hour spot and continue the party going, but the whole time miserable. The whole time hating myself. And at times hating the God that allowed my life to be that way. And now the grace of God, by the grace of God, I get to preach to you. Do you not see the power in that? You know, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to go back to New York to visit my sister. You know, with the storm up there, and I haven't seen her in several years, I'm going to go out for a weekend to see her. I'm labeling that trip the redemption trip. You know why? Because I'm going to seek the redemption of many of my fallen comrades. There are many people in the church in New York. Well, I'm not going to say many. There are several of my friends that have left God. And I've been in contact with them since I knew I was going for us to get together, have a meal, and hang out. Don't you know I'm going to use that as an opportunity to challenge them about their faith? Don't you know I'm going to use that opportunity to tell them I love them and that they're going to go to hell if they don't get right with God? Man, why are you going to mince words? This stuff is for real. Man, we can't play church, guys. Playing church allows people to go to hell comfortably. Let's not get comfortable. You know, during this time of year, more disciples fall asleep than any other time of the year. Because we get caught up in the festivities. Yo, don't get in a tryptophan, you know, whatever they call that stuff for the turkey. Don't take a nap spiritually. If Paul was having a meal with your family, what would he say? Would he just be raving about the gravy, or would he be talking about them, about their eternal salvation? Does that make you feel religious? Okay. I'm okay with that. God's okay with that too. Are you afraid what they're going to say? I'm okay with that too. Do you think every conversation that I'm going to have with my friends in New York or my family is going to be comfortable? No, it's going to be very uncomfortable. These guys haven't seen me in several years, and you know I'm going to go talk about that. And they know I'm going to talk about that. So it's going to be uncomfortable for both of us. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with being comfortable because I'm a disciple of Jesus, not because I'm a minister. Being a minister is what I do. Being a disciple is who I am. That's who we need to be, guys. Amen. You know, as the effects of grace in us are in our heart, they must spur in our actions. What am I talking about? I'm talking about sharing your faith. We talk about that a lot, don't we? What are you afraid of? What am I afraid of? I'll be straight up honest with you guys. I am intimidated to talk to strange men. To strangers as men. I'm a alpha kind of male kind of, at least in my head. It's very hard for me to go up to a guy and be like, hey, how you doing? Just would like to invite you to church. But aren't there ways to strike up a natural conversation? And it's not only with your waiters and waitresses. Nor am I saying that those guys don't need to go to heaven. We do. But let's walk up to the owners, right? Let's walk up to the people in line with us. Let's give everyone the opportunity to have the grace that we enjoy. You know, it's not a technique issue. We could do a whole midweek class on, okay, you know, leave your watch at home so you can ask people the time type thing. And, you know, trust me, people do it. Well, you know what? I'm going to turn off my cell phone and ask somebody the time. Okay. Those are cute. Those are good. Those could work. What I'm talking about is a heart. What I'm talking about is have the heart to share our faith. The heart to go to somebody and say, you know, you might not, you know, flat out say, I love you, but the love of God must spur you on to help somebody not see the fires of hell. You know, there was a young man at the last teen retreat that taught a class about sharing our faith. Several of our teens were in the class. It was a great class. And the young man's testimony was amazing. I mean, he had been through so many. He was a drug dealer at one point. He had done so many things. And you saw the grace of God and the power of God work through this young man. It was incredible. But one thing I noticed throughout the class, he was talking about a lot of techniques, how to do it. So I was sitting there, I said, okay, this is good stuff. I'm going to share with him later my observations. And to his credit, he was so open. You know, he saw me sitting there, and later on he said, hey, can you give me some pointers? Tell me, you know, what you thought about what I did. I said, I'm glad you asked. And I gave him all the raving things I thought he did fantastic. And I said, the only thing I would add on top of what you talked about is the heart of rescuing people, the heart of saving a lost world. You know, we can have all the techniques we want. Aren't there a ton of techniques on how to lose weight? Yeah. Why are we the fattest country in the world? And I speak as, you know, someone in that position. I got the books. I got the techniques. My heart isn't there yet. Pray for me. I'm working on it. I need to be a personal example. That's another area that hurts my heart. But we need to work on it, right? Don't despise someone because they don't struggle with the same sin you struggle with. Just because I wear mine on the outside don't mean you ain't got some that I can't see. We need to be helping each other and spurring each other on. That doesn't mean you can't challenge me. We need to challenge one another. We need to love one another. It was so cool that brother's heart was just like, bro, I get you. I see what you're saying, and I need to add that. And I believe that he will. Let's look at another time when Paul allowed his heart and devotion to push him towards action. Look at Acts 26, please. You guys doing good? Amen. In Acts 26, starting in verse 19. So then, King Agrippa, I was not obedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God, that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Man, do you hear the confidence that Paul has? He is a man in chains, in prison, speaking to an authority that would take his life. And King Agrippa really saw what was going on, right? He said, do you think that you can convert me so quickly? Paul said, short time or long time, I pray to God that everyone that hears my voice will become a disciple one day. I pray that same prayer, that everyone in this auditorium or whatever you want to call this place right here, the commons area, that will become a disciple and stay a disciple until the day you die. Is that impossible? Do we doubt that God wants that? God's grace is a free gift that he wants to give to every single one of us. It's not something only for the rich. Here it is, King Agrippa. He was the king of the Jews at the time. And Paul was brought before him. And he didn't change the message, did he? He didn't politic in one way. He didn't tell him a small, he didn't tell him a less challenging message. He told him the truth. This holiday season, man, forget that. Every day of your life, tell the truth. God doesn't want you to do nothing else. He doesn't want you to rap it. He don't want you to sing it. And if you got those skills, do what you want. But what I'm saying is speak it. Open your mouth. Live it. Our lives speak louder than the words that come out of our mouths. How are you doing at the workplace? Have you worked there a long time and feel like the field is closed? The field is not closed, guys. Every day, the field opens up more and more. You know why? Because the hearts that God has given us are cultivated every day. Hardship cultivates the heart. Most teens that I know that have become disciples, usually a lot of them have had tragedies in their life. Their moms have been, passed, or something had happened in their life to help them mature a little bit. Don't you think the adults in your life have gone through tragedies? I've lost both my parents. I understand death. I've spoken at both my parents' funerals. Praise God, they were disciples. So it was a totally different message than you would preach at a non-disciple's funeral. So that was a blessing. Don't you think it hurts still? When I go to New York, I'm going to go visit their grave. They're not there, but they paid for it, so I might as well go. I want to honor their memory. I miss them on a daily basis. But their example of being disciples in their older years, being taught by 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, guys, we have the right command of God to open our mouths, not to those that are younger, but those who are older. My grandmother is 90-something years old. I think 96. I'm going to share my faith. Amen. You know why? Because I want to see Mita in heaven. That's what I call her. I call her Mita. That's my Mita. But she's mine. I'm going to talk to my religious aunt, who when I first became a Christian, we used to bang heads all the time because I was a knucklehead. Zeal without knowledge. I'm going to try to be a little bit more tactful this time. Maybe just a little bit. But you know what? You can speak your mind to people that they know you love them. People that love me, they can say whatever. Ask Audie. Audie's my best friend. That man can say pretty much anything, any way to me, and I really won't take much offense to it. Why? Because I know he loves me. Richard, you know, Mr. Steve, there's many in this room that I won't trip on. Why? Because I know where it comes from. I know you have relationships like that. I know you have relationships with people when you just grab them by the shirt and say, I'm concerned for you. If you saw the doors of hell open up and people being sucked in, is that what we need to see for us to grab our friends before that day comes? The grace of God is, you know, for us it will be in eternity. For some right now it's a limited time. Because that grace, one day, God is going to say, okay, it's time to go back. Let's go. Let's get them. And those that we have not spoken to, wow. You know, there's some here in Gwinnett County that will never know God if we don't open up our mouths. Is it challenging for that to be our responsibility? Sure it is. I'm not going to say it's not. But wouldn't you rather have that responsibility than that responsibility of bailing yourself out of jail? The responsibility of finding a new job because you were so drunk you couldn't go to work the next day? Think about what the grace of God has saved us from. He saved us from such hardships. Think about the way, parents, that we're raising our children to love and fear God. Did your parents raise you that way? My parents didn't. God bless them, they didn't know better. And I know if they did, they would have. But think about the blessings that our families have received because of the decisions we've made. Right. You know, we've had several Father's Prayers on Saturday mornings. It's on the last Saturday of the month. And one thing I told the brother, I said, man, imagine all the families that would be blessed if more dads from the church would come to these prayers. Wow. Let me tell you something. When I come from these prayers, I am fired up. Why? Because I'm with my brothers, and we're praying to our God, and we're earnest, and it's so good. It's so good to be together before God, crying out for the same exact things. My family is blessed when I get home because I'm less bitter. I'm less emotional in the wrong direction. I'm more concerned about them. Why? Because I'm focused. I challenge all the fathers in this room. We are going to do I was thinking maybe not, but we are going to do it. And whoever can come, come. If you're out of town, amen. Dads, I need you to come to this meeting. Guys, did you hear me? Yeah. Fathers, I need you to come to this. If men lead, our families will follow. Right. As fathers in the church, we need to come. You know what? If you're a future father, you can come on too. Come on. Let's just bring it open. If you got some friends that are fathers, or thinking about becoming fathers, we'll have enough prayer time. It's okay. Guys, we need to get radical. But it doesn't start being radical with programs. It starts in our hearts with our relationship with God. You know, in verse 28, again, Paul was asked by King Agrippa if he was trying to convert him. You know, Paul was all about the mission. Do you ever feel that pressure that, man, I got to always be doing this?
Yep.
Man, back the pressure, y'all. It's supposed to be a privilege.
Amen. Yeah.
It's supposed to be, it's not for the elders and for the full-time people in the church. I've just been in the ministry 4 years. I was a disciple since 95. This is new to me. I'm still kind of trying to figure this thing out. I love what I do, and it's a blessing of God. Absolutely. But if I'm not a disciple first, I'm not qualified to work full-time for the church. It can't be about pressure. It can't be about feeling, oh, my gosh, is someone going to ask me, what am I doing? That's the past, y'all. Some of us never even experienced that. I experienced that. But some of us have never experienced that. We don't need outside prodding to get us to do the things God has commanded us to do. It is not a request. It's not if it's comfortable. We already know it's not comfortable. So let's do it anyway. Don't you want to hear the words that I'm sure Damien heard? Well done. Imagine Jesus come up to you saying, well done. I think we're going to fall on the floor and be like, oh my gosh. We're going to be like, get up, man. Calm down. We're going to spend eternity together. I made this for you. These wounds are for you because I love you. And you're with me now. We're going to party. We're going to celebrate. And we're going to do it righteously. Oh, man. I can't wait to go to heaven. This Thanksgiving, we have much to be thankful for. Don't just sweat the turkey. Enjoy it. I'm not saying don't enjoy your meals. I'm not saying don't play a little Xbox or watch some football. It's all good. Let's do all that. But don't leave Jesus out.
Come on.
Don't forget that these people that you're sitting with, you want to sit with them in eternity. You want to make sure that they're okay for the long term, not just till the pumpkin pie. Amen?
Right.
Guys, we have grace that must have an effect on our lives. Let us display that grace every day and let it be evident to all. Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day that we could all gather here. Pray for those who didn't come today that need to be here. That as friends and family come into town, or those of us who are going to travel to see friends and family, that we could have the confidence and courage to reach out to them while we spend time together. Just be with us in our travels as we spend time with the families. And just thank you for everything. We don't deserve any of it, but you've given us anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.